Imagine facing a childhood filled with unimaginable pain, second-degree burns as a toddler, repeated molestation, brutal beatings from a stepfather, and finding your mother gone at just 14. For most, this would be a life sentence of despair. But for our next guest, it became the crucible that forged an unstoppable spirit, proving that the past does not ruin or dictate your future. Today, I am honored to have Elretha Thomas, an award-winning author, playwright, and actress, currently starring in a Tyler Perry production. Join us. Her latest psychological thriller, The Daughter Between Them, named one of the best indie books of 2024 by Kirkus Reviews, explores family secrets, identity, and resilience, echoing our own incredible journey of turning pain into powerful storytelling. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and utterly moved. Welcome to the show, Elretha.
Thank you, Edna. Thank you for that heartwarming introduction. And just it's the daughter between
Did I say
yeah,
yes?
thank you. Thank you for the heartwarming introduction. I appreciate it.
Okay.
It's great to be on your show.
Okay.
I appreciate you. And I appreciate you covering these kind of topics because, as you said, a lot of people are suffering in silence and
Yes.
they don't really have a forum or a platform and are living in despair. And I really count myself to be victorious and someone that can maybe inspire others to know, in spite of what you might be going through or experiencing now, it's not a death sentence. It doesn't mean that it's going to end that way.
Right. Elretha, your life story is a testament to resilience, moving through childhood traumas like second-degree burns, molestation, extreme loss. For someone still feeling defined by their past pain, what's the raw truth about how you began to shift that narrative and become a victorious instead of a victim?
Well, I had to, it took me a while, growing up in the Bay Area. I was born in Oakland. I was raised in San Francisco, and my mom was struggling. She was sickly. She did the best she could with what she had. My mother was an extremely beautiful woman, and so she was taken advantage by, untoward men, if you will. And she met my stepdad, he had his issues, and I suffered a lot at his hand. But my mom died when I was 14. She was only 36. So I left the Bay Area and moved to Compton to live with my grandparents. And I still hadn't dealt with the emotional trauma from, the things that I had gone through. But it made me excel. Even in when I was a young girl, my mother would say, "How do you get straight A's? How do you do so well in spite of everything going at home?" And it I just believe that God just put that spirit in me too. I use school and I use reading and books and all those things to escape from what was going on with me. And I forged ahead in high school, graduated second in my class, went to USC, but I still hadn't dealt with the stuff that was going on. And then I had the fallout in my early 20s and I had to get help. And I did. I sought counseling. I got help. And what I discovered, and what I think others might want to take a look at, I just hated myself. I hated myself so much. I experienced bulimia and anorexia. And getting help, I found out that the reason I hated myself is because of the things that had happened to me. And I internalized them. And I felt that if these things were happening to me, then I was a bad person. I had to be evil for these things to be happening to me. And what I had to unlearn that. And I had to learn that I wasn't the things that happened to me. I had to learn that I was a child of God and that God was with me all along the way that I had gone through these things. And there was a reason I had gone through them. And I know what that reason is today. It is to have a testimony and to be able to help countless others that may be suffering. It's nothing wrong with you. You're not a bad person. You're not evil for the things that have happened to you. You're just in that circumstance and know that you're not alone and that God is with you and he's going to carry you through that and that you're going to be rewarded in the end and you're going to have a testimony and you're going to be able to help thousands, countless people that are going through that. So counseling was a thing, and changing that narrative and learning that I'm a beautiful person. I'm a wonderful person. I'm a godly person. I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. None of them of us are, but God loves me, and I deserve to be here on the planet Earth, and that I'm a good person. And today, Edna, I truly love myself, and I love others, and I have a lot of empathy and sympathy for others. I have a lot of empathy for others, especially people that are suffering because I did.
Yeah. That's really good. I think it's so important for us as women to say, you know, that counseling is a great piece of it, because we forget along the way because we're so busy with everybody else and we don't take time for ourselves. And it's the best investment you can have in your life.
Yes.
Yep. So your novel, The Daughter Between Them, intertwines family secrets and the complexities of maternal identity. How did your personal experience of losing your mother at 14 and navigating the challenges of relationship influence this, you know, book and the dynamics in it?
Yeah, my past, my experience did inspire me and played a part in this. And I think the main part was the mother-daughter relationship.
Right.
It's very difficult to lose a mom at an early age, and I know I'm not alone. It's hard, especially when you become a woman, especially losing a mom at a young age, not having that unconditional love, because a mother is going to love you unconditionally, like no one else can. And I remember my mother, because she suffered from asthma, she would have these attacks, and she would have to be hospitalized. We'd have to go to foster home temporarily. And she would, in between breaths, she would say, no one's going to love you like I love you. And as a child, I didn't understand that. But as an adult, I do understand that. I'm watching The Handmaid's Tale right now. I'm on the Late Show with that series. But there was a scene that I saw the other night, and just this whole, the mother bond and fighting, you know, Elizabeth Moss fighting for her child.
Yep.
And then the woman who tortured her fighting for her child. And that's the mother thing. And so it inspired to write this. I wanted to write a story about two mothers who were fighting for the existence of their children. Like I know my mother fought for me. You know, I remember one time we were at the park and we got beat up, my two sisters and I, by these bullies. And we were running home and my mother saw me. She said, why did you let my baby get beat up? You know, she was hugging me. And I remember a time I was not feeling well and she saw me. She's like, you're okay. And she just grabbed me up, you know, and you could feel that motherly love. And I wanted to write a book that showed that. And so these two mothers, Leslie and Barbara, you know, they have that love for their daughters, both of them. Although one is not dealing with the full deck, you know, she's having some mental challenges, Barbara.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Leslie is our main protagonist. But I instilled in them that love and that mama bear feeling that I know my mother had for me. And vicariously, I get to live through both women in terms of the relationships that they have with their daughters. So that's the connection.
Okay. You talk about secrets in this book as well. Can you talk about how what the true cost of harboring deep secrets are?
I'm sorry, say it again, Edna.
You talk about having secrets, life-changing secrets in the book. Can you talk about how harboring deep secrets can adversely affect us?
That's a great question. I once heard where it said, you're only as sick as your darkest secret. We have to let go of secrets, because secrets, when you harbor them, they cause unease, which turns into disease.
Right.
So I believe that you have to share it with someone. You know, whatever you're holding in, whatever has happened, you have to find somebody to share that secret with. I don't care who it is, someone you could trust, because when you're holding it in, you give it power and it eats away at you. You have to let it go. And I have shared every secret that I ever had with someone. There are things that I know about people that I haven't shared with them, and I never would, because it would destroy them. or okay. I know things about, I have information that I could give someone that would destroy them, and I would never do that. But right. I've shared that with someone else, another trusted person, so I'm not holding it. So you have to get it out. You know, a good way to start is putting it on paper, writing it out. One of the things that I talk about is accountability. Getting out of the victim role, because when we hold on to the victim role, it weakens us and we lose our power. So like I was molested and I had to write, I wrote a forgiveness letter. I wrote a letter to the person that did it. And I thought about, okay, so I'm molested, right? What part did I play in it? How can I get out of the victim role? So one would say, you're 3, 5 years old. What part could you play in you being molested? Well, I said, I got to come up with something just to get out of the victim role. So I said, I could have screamed. I never did. I never screamed. And I was small, because I remember I went into the kitchen one time and the lights were out and he came in there and fondled me, and the stove was bigger than I was. So, you know, I was small, but I could have screamed, although I didn't have a voice. I was a baby, but I just told myself, okay, I could have screamed. I could have told my mother. I didn't. So that was the part I played. So I forgave myself. I said, I forgive myself for not speaking out. Then I thought about the man that molested me. And I said, for a grown man to want to touch a child, they have to be mentally ill. They have to be sick. This man has to have a lot of self-loathing. And, and I begin to have compassion for this man. I said, can you imagine being him and living in his skin? He has to be, that has to be the most horrific. And he was probably carrying a secret. He's carrying a secret. So I had compassion for him and I forgave him, and it freed me. And I shared that information and that freed me. So I don't have any secrets, and not having any secrets keeps you free. You can go to sleep at night. You can close your eyes. I rest well at night. I don't take anything to go to sleep. I just lay my head down and go to sleep because I'm not carrying the baggage anymore. I'm not carrying the resentments. I'm not carrying the hurts, the anger, the pain. I get it up off me. So that's my first advice to anyone. If you're carrying a secret, if you're carrying resentment, hurts, grudges, let it go. My play, the one that's coming out October 10th in Hollywood, A Girl's Guilt Trip, deals with forgiveness. It deals with secrets. It deals with carrying burdens and resentments and hurt. Gotta let it go. Gotta let it go.
Ooh, that's good. You made a significant career transition after the age of 50. Now an award-winning author, playwright, and actress. So many of my clients always say to me, it's too late, you know, for me to pivot or chase, you know, chase a long, you know, long-term dream. What's the most uncomfortable but necessary step they need to take to finally claim what you received?
Oh, fear, getting over the fear. Fear. Face, you know, face everything and run, or, you know, there are different acronyms for it. Taking that leap of faith, you know. Imagine a child and the parents trying to teach them to jump into the pool and they're afraid, or even walk down a step. And that child, I've seen videos on that TikTok and social media. The child is just scared to make that step because you think you're going to fall on your face. Take that step. Don't be afraid. Getting past the fear. What do you have to lose? Nothing. But you have everything to gain. So I was in corporate America. I had a stable job. I had an income. You know, and I went to my husband in 2016 and I said, if I can make it work, if I can make the math, as they say, would you be okay with me stepping back full time into writing and acting? I'm married to an amazing man. Thank God. He said yes. And I took that step of faith. There was no guarantee. I'm older. I'm not 20, 30, 40. I'm older now. It's harder for older women, especially older actresses, even ones that have stayed in the business and have a career. You know, Denzel, the latest movie they did was Spike, Highest and Lowest and Lowest and High, great movie. The woman who's his wife has to be 30 years his junior, 40 years. But as a woman actress, you can't do that. So it's harder for us. So that was something I had to get past. You know, am I going to get the work? But once I did it and I took that step of faith, things just start opening up for me. And bam, during the COVID, I got a series regular role. Anastasia Devereaux and Tyler Perry's Sister Living. I believe that was God's gift and reward to me for trusting him and taking a step. If you take that leap of faith, God is going to meet you where you're at. He's going to meet you there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, because I hear that all the time. And I know I'm always taking leaps of faith and, you know, I got to take that opportunity. And that's all what it's about, is taking that opportunity, because God's bringing it to you. It's so powerful. So powerful to hear from someone such as yourself that's doing great things, and gives all of us, audience, you know, that are over that age of transition, you know, that 50-year mark, you know, that we have something more, and it's bigger than us. It's all bigger than us. I love that.
The best is yet to come. Your latter days will be better than your former days.
Yes, absolutely. I think we forget that part. Mm-hmm. I think we forget that. With your background in overcoming adversity, what's one piece of out-of-the-box advice you'd give someone struggling with mental health challenges? Anything that was inspired in your book, The Daughter Between Them?
Wow. Yeah, Barbara, she went through it. But the thing that I saw, I found that I was inspired by my character, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Was that she put her daughter before herself in the end. I don't want to do any spoilers. But she put her daughter, as much as she wanted the love of her daughter, as much as she wanted to have a life with her daughter, mm-hmm. she realized that she wasn't good for her daughter. She realized that she had to let it go. She had to let go. So I would say, mental health wise, let those things go that aren't good for you. Let those people go, those situations,
mm-hmm.
those places that aren't good for you, that are triggers. They're going to keep you in that place. Let those go. You have to step out. You got to step out of the box. And don't be afraid, because when you let go, God is, if you let go, you're holding on to that. You can't receive. Let it go and receive what is new that God has for you.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm going to go back to the daughter between them. You tackle a lot of weight of secrets across different timelines. And it's amazing how you do it. Like, and I had to keep remembering, okay, there goes a secret there. There goes, you know, and each timeline was different. In your opinion, what's the most dangerous secret someone can keep from themselves when trying to move forward?
I think the most dangerous secret would be feeling like you're not enough. There are a lot of people that function in life and they put on a good face.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the makeup on, the hair, the, you know, the clothes, put the briefcase, dry the fat. But deep down, they're hating themselves.
Yeah.
And no one knows it. They know it. And when they look in the mirror, and that secret that can lead to you making poor decisions.
Yeah.
Can lead to self-sabotaging. Can lead to a place of you keep coming back to the same place. You wonder, why do I keep coming back to the same place?
Yeah.
You may even have hidden it from yourself that you don't like yourself, or you hate yourself, or you have a problem with yourself. And if you find yourself continually going down or being stuck and you don't see progress, examine, take a step back and examine and really look at, how do you really feel about yourself? If you really love yourself, why do you keep putting yourself in debt? If you really love yourself, why do you keep going back to the same guy who's black in your eye? If you love yourself, why do you keep coming to work late? Why do you keep causing confusion? You keep sabotaging, doing things that aren't set. If you're doing things that are destructive, you keep step back and say, and look at it and realize, why am I doing that if I love myself? Right. And why don't I love myself? And is it because certain things happened to me and I believe it's my fault and I caused this and so I need to be punished? Examine and let that go and realize, no, it's not your fault. If you feel it is, forgive yourself, forgive the people involved, forgive, let it go, clean your slate. So you can start loving yourself. And when you love yourself, you're going to do the things that are good for you. You're going to walk away from that abusive relationship. You're going to walk away from that abusive boss. Right. You're going to walk away from that abusive friend. You're going to walk away from those people that crack house or that dope house or whatever you're doing when you come to the place of really loving yourself.
That's good. Oh, that's good. Good stuff. Audience, that is really good stuff. Given your experience as, you know, on the screen with Tyler Perry, yay, so beautiful. Do you ever have conflicts on your performing versus your personal development, and does it impact you at all?
Well, when I do my role, there are two. I'm not me. I'm not my role. Gotcha. I'm a trained actress. I studied for 7 years before I left acting, and I've taken a lot of workshops. And every actor has their process. My process is I separate my character from my real life. Anastasia Devereaux has her life and I have my life. Gotcha. We have some things in common. We're both actresses. She's a far better dresser than I am. When you see me most of the time on the street, people see me and they recognize me. And I know they probably say, oh my gosh, she doesn't dress anything like her character, because I'll have on cutoff jeans. Anastasia's a fashionista. I'm dressed up right now for you, Edna, for the show. But normally, you know, t-shirt, jeans. I don't judge her. She has her life. The writers, Tyler Perry created this beautiful character. The writers had given information about her, and I've added things. She's been married 8 times. You know, she has a colorful love life. She's very flamboyant and, you know, opinionated. And that's who she is, and I love her. So I keep her separate, and I'll read this who Alrita is. When I step on that set, I'm Anastasia. I shut my life out. I go by her life. And I love that because it's a high. That's when you really have fun in acting, when you could just immerse yourself in the character and put on that character's skin and completely become her. And not even when I have things where it's emotional and Anastasia may cry, I create that situation. It was an episode where one of her friends from her early movie days died. And so I created that person and the friends and the situation. And I didn't use my life or an emotional situation in my life to cry. I created everything fresh and anew because I wanted it to be pure. And I wanted Anastasia to be crying for what was going on in her life, not me crying for something that happened in my Alrita's past life. I keep the two characters separate.
Okay. Would you say that the ability for you to even say that in the mindset that you are in now, that that's a secret weapon to even, you know, kind of take control of our own lives? Like using that ability, we have control over that?
I would say, I would have to say in terms of separating, if you had a challenging background, you have to separate that from who you are. If we talk about separation.
Yes.
You're not the beatings. You're not the abuse. That's something that happened to you. You didn't deserve that. You are a full, complete child of God, a human being, a spiritual being having a physical experience. Right. You are truly loved and embraced by God. That's your. You're not the beatings. You're not the bad stuff that happens. So, know that and realize that. Those things happened to you. It was an experience. It's over. You get to share how you've overcome that. And it happens so that you can be a testimony, a light to others who are going through, so you can tell them, You can have a life. You can have a better life.
Well, that's good.
You're a child of God. You're not what happened to you.
Yes, you've given us so much. Audience, we're receiving so much information and just great things. I'm elated that you're here. Is there one more thing you can give the audience that you haven't given, dropped any jewels on, but one more beautiful thing that you can share with them to inspire them on their journey?
One of the things I have to say is become a giver. What has helped me rise above so much and have peace and have joy is to become a giver. When you go out into the world, you can give a smile, you can give a hello, you can tell someone a cop, you can give a compliment. I always amazed at the feeling that I get inside of me when I do something for a stranger, when I thank a stranger, I say something positive. I might be in a store and I'll tell the clerk, you have a beautiful spirit. Thank you for letting this be a beautiful encounter. And the way they light up, you would have thought you'd given them $1 million. Human beings, we're thirsty for validation. We're thirsty for connection and love. We're so with our social media and in our phones, on our devices, contraptions, we don't really connect with our brothers and sisters because we're all in this together. We're all brothers and sisters. We all came from the same place.
Yes,
sir. You know, why let the roof fall down on us or a catastrophic earthquake or something to become brothers and sisters? We already brothers and sisters. So I find that I am so uplifted when I give, not just monetarily, but like I said, simple things. You're beautiful. I'll see a couple sometimes. You're a beautiful couple. And people just light up. Yes. Just a word. Give. Give encouragement. Give love. Go out with a smile on your face.
Right.
Come outside of yourself. And especially helps if you're feeling down and depressed. Get outside of you and project love and ask someone else, how are you doing today? You look beautiful today. Can I help you today? Can I help you to your car? An elderly person. Give it. Yes. Give it. Become a giver.
Yes. Absolutely. And you're so right to connect that to this this arena that we're in now with the apparatus, as I call them, and devices and phones and we're all disconnected. I go out now and I look and people are walking in the park and people are sitting on their phones with the kids and they're just scrolling through phones, not connected. But yeah, you're right, is to connect with, you know, to everyone. You're so right. You're so right. Wow, this has been an incredible, powerful, raw, and inspiring conversation with you, the phenomenal Aretha Thomas. Thank you, Aretha.
Thank you so much. And like I said, I give God the glory. Without him, I wouldn't be here.
Yes, but you shared your story with us and you're doing it, you know, and showing us all that transformation is not just possible, but imperative for a life of purpose. And if you haven't grabbed Aretha's story, here it is. Grab a copy.
Yay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Grab a copy. Listen, if this episode has helped you, leave a comment so that Aretha can get it and like and subscribe and share it with somebody, because I know that this episode is going to inspire. And we're grateful for you again, Aretha, for sharing your story. Wouldn't have
Thank you for having me, Anna. God bless
you. Thank you so much. And with that, we're going to say goodbye for now. And thank you for being here.
Bye.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.